I'd like you now to let your attention come to your breath if it's not already there. And not the thought of the breath, but the direct sensation of the breath as it comes and goes by itself. Allow yourself to make contact with each breath without any interference, just direct connection, contact, experience. Experience the natural tides of the breath as it comes and as it goes. Let the breath breathe itself without any attempt to control it in any way. Allow the breath to be completely natural and free. Just the breath breathing itself. Sensations arising instant to instant in the vast spaciousness of awareness. If you notice the mind attempting to shape the breath to control it in any way, just watch that tendency and let the breath float free. No holding and no control. Completely let go of the breath. Let the body breathe by itself. Just awareness. Vast as the sky, open, spacious, boundless. Sensations of the breath arising and passing away within this openness. Nothing to hold on to, nothing to do, just the breath as it is. Other body sensations arise and pass away within this boundless awareness. Sensations of the hands and the lap, the buttocks on the chair or cushion. Each moment of sensation floating free. Each moment just as it is. No need to name the experience, just contact it directly. Just being experienced in the vastness of awareness. Sensations of the breath, of the body floating free. Just moments of experience appearing and disappearing within the vastness. Thoughts may arise, each thought a bubble, each sensation a bubble, each breath a bubble arising in the vast spaciousness of mind, existing for an instant, dissolving back into the flow. No need to control. Just the vast open flow of change. Let thoughts think themselves. Just let things be as they are. Let sensations float in vast space. Let go of the mind and thoughts and feelings arising and melting away. Nothing to hold on to. thoughts of me and mine arising and passing away, instant by instant. Let them come and let them go. There's no one to be, nothing to do, nowhere to go. Just now, just this. Just sensations, thoughts, feelings, sounds, all bubbles arising and passing away in the great vast spaciousness of awareness. Each arising like waves for an instant and dissolving back into the ocean of being, into the vastness of your true nature. No one to be, just this. Nowhere to go, just now. Nothing to do, just be. Feel free to stretch a little or change your posture. Denny, could you turn those lights up just a little so I can see people just a little? Mm-hmm. Okay, welcome everyone. I'm Carla Brennan. It says still right here. Before I start on my talk, just wondered if there is any, on that brief meditation, if there was, I don't know if it felt brief, but the last part, the brief guided meditation, if there's any comments or questions about that. I'll certainly be coming, alluding back to it in my talk, but any comments or questions about that, and that experience? Yeah.
What I noticed was I couldn't contain my breath anymore. It just enveloped me, and I had to open up my mouth to allow it. Mm-hmm. It was expansive. I've never had that before. Mm-hmm. Usually I can breathe just through my nose, no problem, but I couldn't.
The breath got no bound for you. Good. Yeah. Anything else? May have put a couple people to sleep. That's often the case. Okay. Well, if something comes up, you know, later, you can share it. The title of this talk is Creating Space for Spaciousness. In some ways, this talk is a follow-up a bit to a talk I gave in early October, and that talk was called something about, I don't know, stillness and movement. If you weren't there, that's fine. And if you were there, you probably don't remember it. So, so it's only a follow-up in my mind, I think. But it's dealing with some of the... I'm wanting to point, let's say, in some of the same directions as I did in that talk. And for this talk, I do want to... I think there's only one person here from... I want to thank my... I have a monthly book group. And I wanted to thank that group because we talked about this week, spaciousness, and I want to thank them for their insights and reflections on this. Some of this is not so easy to talk about, and I want to say for the beginner, it may be less familiar, but it may not be, and I do feel strongly that it's actually important to introduce a description or an introduction or an attempt to guide you into at least a beginning understanding or sense of what spaciousness means. Well, not what it means isn't quite the right word, but what it is, I guess. So first part of this talk, I want to say that meditation is space. In a way, mindfulness practice that we do is the practice of creating space. It's the practice of becoming more open and expanded and beyond our limited ideas, our limited conditioning, our limited habits. It's about, in a way, creating space around our experience. And those of you who have meditated for a while, I think, are familiar with this. And if you haven't been meditating for a while, just hold this as a possibility or aspiration. There's a kind of stopping or pausing, a kind of expanding, being able to see and feel our experience in a larger context, in a larger space. Could also say that awareness is space. That this process of mindfulness practice, of awareness practice, is the process of just this process of just allowing, just experiencing, just being with things as they are, with just this emotion, this thought, this sensation, whatever it is that arises, without grabbing it, without rejecting it, without struggling with it, without creating a story and a drama around it. All of this fosters this connection, you might say, with this open space. Normally, of course, we're often reacting, we're obsessing, we're perseverating, we're identifying with means we're caught in the story about me related to whatever's going on. We're lost in all this. I think most of us are familiar with that. Some of us are so familiar with it we don't even recognize it. You know, when we experience things as big and overwhelming, whether it's our own emotions or our own reaction or whatever, it means we're holding it in a very small and tight way. It could be a good clue. You know, Suzuki wrote one of my favorite things ever from Suzuki Roshi. I heard this a long time ago, early in my practice, and it has had a lot of meaning to me. He says, to control a cow or sheep, give it a big pasture. So to control a cow or a sheep, give it a big pasture. So if an animal is in a small, tight cage, what happens? What happens? That animal, how's it behave? You know, goes crazy, jumps around, anxious, reactive. Now, if you let that animal roam freely, same animal, then what?
Calms down.
Right, at ease. So, do you cage yourself, or do you give yourself free space? And how do you know the difference? So So being aware of whatever is arising, this is what we're doing, being aware and present with whatever is arising. And you know, sometimes people think that it looks a certain way or it feels, when I'm being mindful, it feels like a certain thing. When we're aware, we're just aware of whatever is arising. It doesn't have a particular feeling other than whatever is arising. So mindfulness is always a bigger space than whatever is experienced. So if we're dull and confused, then we're aware of that. The awareness holds that. If we're spacey and dull and sleepy, then we're aware of that. And the awareness, the mindfulness holds that. If we're irritable and we're resistant and we think, I don't like mindfulness, I don't want to be mindful, I don't want to be aware, then we can be aware of that. The mindfulness is always bigger. It always has more space than whatever can arise in our experience. So you might say time is space too. You know, when we're in a situation and let's say somebody becomes aggressive with us in some way. You know, our old habits is there's no awareness really, or not much. There's an immediate reaction. We're angry, we're hurt, we're whatever it is. And instead of, there's no time, there's just reaction, right? There's no space. But instead, what begins to develop as we practice when we're aware is what I might call a gap. There's a moment of openness and space, a moment where we see what's happening. Before we react, we see that what's going on, that there's a choice here, that there's this thing going on, this person saying something, I'm starting to have a reaction. And the more and more we recognize this, the more we can invite this gap, this moment of just seeing, of just knowing, of just being present. And it's in that sort of gap that understanding and insight can arise, and we can choose something different than our old habitual habits. You know, there's a old, you know, in anger management or stress reduction, they often talk about counting, you know, stop, count, breathe to 10, you know, before you do anything. And of course, that's a good thing. But what I'm talking about here is the gap that happens in real time may only be a second or two. But the awareness in that time has slowed down. That's what I mean. Time slows down. There's like space there. And an amazing amount of understanding and insight what in conventional time seems like a short amount of time can arise in that. You start to see, you start to reflect on that person's doing that. I'm feeling this. I think I might go this direction instead of that. And this whole space is sort of created around the event. Again, even from the outside, it might not look, you might not be able to perceive it. Another thing I might say is acceptance is space. Acceptance is giving reality space. It's relaxing to things as they are. It's letting things be because they are. If you struggle with what is, you're doomed. It's that it doesn't mean that you don't make wise choices. That's a whole other talk, blah, blah, blah. But in the reality of this moment, what is what is. And this acceptance is giving it space. This too. This too. And if there's a confidence grows with this. A confidence that you can meet anything. You can be with anything as it is. This too. And the space of the heart-mind gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, I think you get more confidence that it might just be big enough for anything. So loving-kindness and metta is space, a kind of space. And what that means is whatever arises in this space of kindness or compassion as we practice. Particularly holding ourselves, I like to begin in emphasizing that with ourselves, because once we get it with ourselves, then everyone else can join in our personal space of kindness and compassion becomes universal. So we hold ourselves in this experience of kindness. so that we begin to respond to whatever experience we have, pain, emotions, confusion, doubts, worry, anxiety, judgments. We respond to them. Hateful thoughts, selfish thoughts, mistakes, our foolishness, our humiliations, our bad habits, all the underbelly of our personality. We learn to respond to that with kindness and compassion. All of it. So even when you feel like you can't sit, you have no clue what kindness, loving kindness is in you, maybe you can't stand it anyway, you meet that with kindness and a kind of tenderness towards your suffering. So again, in that same way as I was describing mindfulness, the kindness is always bigger than the experience. It always has more space. There's no edge to it. And we can begin, again, to extend that to others and hold them in that same space. And people know it when you do that. They may not consciously know it, but they know it. And checking my other things, okay. And lastly, what I want to talk about is a little bit, and this gets into the even bigger picture, that our true nature is space. Our true nature, our original nature, our Buddha nature is space, is open space. And this is what they mean when they talk about emptiness. You know, sometimes emptiness is translated as openness or spaciousness. It's what that groundlessness, what's called the groundlessness of being or the groundless ground of being. It's not space in the conventional sense. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it is a kind of spaciousness of its own right. It sounds like angels or something. So I often talk about resting in awareness or resting in presence, and I could easily and sometimes do say rest in spaciousness. So in that meditation I did at the very end, I was a little bit trying to guide you toward that, at least some of that sense or that feeling or that essence of the spaciousness of awareness of being in which experience arises. And, you know, as we begin to tap, I call it sort of tapping into emptiness, we tap into the spaciousness. And everything becomes a little bit more permeable or lighter. The very character of our original being, you might say, is this spaciousness. I remember one of the first early times where I experienced it very viscerally, or almost physically, was I was on a 3-month retreat many years ago, and this was at the Insight Meditation Society, and we had a nice Indian summer. And I was meditating. I like to meditate outside a lot. And I remember the leaves were falling. It was beautifully warm. I was wearing a t-shirt. There was a light breeze. And the spaciousness and the stillness and the silence felt so open that it literally felt as if the breeze was blowing right through my body. Maybe it was. I don't know. But it was this incredibly lovely, open, empty, spacious experience. You know, everyone has glimpsed this. Everyone has had this experience. So if I'm saying this and you say, oh, that sounds nice, I wish I had that, I bet you have. You may not have attributed it to your original nature or whatever, but certainly that's why people go into nature, wild nature, a lot, because it tends to evoke that experience. The ocean, the sky, the mountains, the desert. We'll have this moment of realizing our true nature there. It reminds us, or it again reveals to us who we really are. Now, there's a simpler, in a way, more pedestrian example. In the Dzogchen Tibetan tradition, the example they give is simply that if you've had an experience of working really hard, particularly physically, and you're at the end of a long day, you've worked really hard, you have a nice, comfortable chair, and you just, sit down. Everybody know that? And in that moment, it may only be a few seconds, there's that sense of letting it all go. There's that sense of openness. There's a sense of emptiness. There's a sense of you're not really concerned about thinking about yourself or anything. And in that moment, there's a sense of peace and rest. You're not this, you're not that. The stories are gone. And then you might have a thought, where's the TV remote, or is there a beer in the refrigerator? Or maybe I have to make that phone call, and then it all dissipates. Kind of, you forget it. You've forgotten it. But there it was, right at your fingertips. And the very nature of the spaciousness, I like to say, is silent and still. And again, here I'm going to go into those little bit of paradoxical statements of a silence that has a palpable hum. And a stillness that is vibrant and dynamic. Or a silence that's beyond sound and silence. Or a stillness that's beyond stillness and movement. And as we become familiar with this as our original nature, the very nature of our being, and we see all these emotions, all these stories, all this stuff that's coming and going and flux and changing and whatever, and then there's this enormous field, this enormous field of awareness that is not coming and going in the same way. And you begin to be able to rest in that. I just bought a book by Ajahn Sumedho today. I haven't read it yet. I just bought it today. But it's called The Sound of Silence. And I know the forest monks are very much into this. I've been able to listen to the silence as a practice. You can hear the silence as a way to focus your meditation. And this isn't just an abstract exercise or just a nice, pleasant experience, although I would say it's freeing, it's healing. There's a quiet joy and a happiness that goes beyond our, again, the ups and downs of life. So we become less stuck to or identified with all the experiences that come and go. I'm going to read this. This is from John Wellwood, who is a psychologist and Buddhist practitioner. Shows up now and then at Spirit Rock. What makes it possible for us to free ourselves from the compulsive habits of the conditioned personality and conceptual mind? Struggling to change the way we are certainly does not work, for this only produces inner agitation and strain, not genuine freedom or awakening. From the perspective of Buddhist psychology, what allows us to wake up to the very nature of reality and live freshly in the moment is the spacious quality of our being, which is intrinsically free from past conditioning. Our very awareness is indeed a kind of open space. Just as the screen on which a film is projected is not touched by the dramas and tragedies playing themselves upon it, remaining spotless even when a bloody murder takes place in the film, so none of the mind's dramas can stick to spacious awareness. The spacious, transparent, luminous nature of our awareness is much larger and more powerful than any belief, fixation, complex, or compulsion that temporarily arises or resides in it. So this practice, our practice of mindfulness, is the practice of opening up, a practice of allowing space to naturally arise with our experience, with our emotions, with our loving kindness, with our attention. And the more that is available to us, and the more peace, the more freedom, the more the lack of obstacles, the more directness is available to us. So I'm going to stop there and let us just sit in silence and spaciousness for a moment. And if any questions or comments or sharings or insights arise that you might like to share with the group, we can do that after I ring the bell.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.